But first, let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Hi, Onanta.
Hi, Randy.
We're going to be talking about traveling with your pets, some recent changes or changes coming to people that want to travel with their dogs across the border into the U.S. What's the deal with that? I kind of skimmed over that story, but I still don't know what the problem is.
Well, starting on August the 1st, the U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, will start requiring that all dogs entering the U.S. will have a microchip implant and at least be 6 months old. And owners need to fill out a CDC dog import form, which can be filled out and submitted online. Now, the CDC says the form requires basic information about the dog as well as a clear photograph of the dog showing its face and body. Now, keep a little note on this. It's not totally confirmed about this photograph requirement. So it's changing. It's a fluid situation right now. Dog owners must also have documentation of Canadian issued rabies vaccination issued and signed by a Canadian licensed veterinarian, which includes vaccination and microchip information and certifies that the dog has been vaccinated for rabies. And I think that's the end goal, is that the U.S., neither does Canada, wants rabies outbreak or spread. So this is what's triggering it. Now, the Canadian Health Minister, Mark Holland, has stated that as long as, you know, he thinks that there should be a grace period, because as long as the vaccination was administered in a rabies-free or low-risk country, which Canada is, that they shouldn't have to worry about going into the States. So lots of things going on, and it's caused quite a bit of angst for animal owners.
See, like, I'm an animal owner. I have a dog. Mm-hmm. We should introduce Stella to the show.
A pet expert.
And I don't have a problem with this. And I don't have a problem with this because I have interviewed veterinarians and talked about traveling with your pet. And they say, just leave your pet at home. Like, that's the best thing for them. So I'm going to follow that advice. But I get it. I understand people want to take their pets with them. They're like family. And I suppose if you're going like a short ride for a weekend to friends or relatives, probably not a big deal. But when you're talking hours in a car, long distances and all that stuff, and especially flying, then leave your pet at home. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I do get it.
Right. Well, it's interesting because last year, pet travel was the subject of like over 19 million Google searches in the U.S. alone. And 65% of pet parents saying that they're likely going to travel with their pets in the next year. So, but you do have to consider at the end of the day whether it is in the best interest of your pet, as you say. So is your pet very young or old, sick or recovering from surgery? Like you say, maybe staying at home and guarding the house, or, you know, checking out a nice, like a little pet vacation on his own at a, you know, might be better and bring him or her more joy. But it is pets are very, it's a big part of the family now.
Oh, I get it. Absolutely. Like I'll say, Stella is a big part of our family, but I wouldn't want to cause her undue stress by, you know, having her in a car for 4 or 5 hours. Here's the other thing. You can't take your dog. I'm going to use a dog for an example. Mm-hmm. You can't take your dog everywhere you go. You can't take them into restaurants. You can't take them when you go shopping. So this is the problem. What are you going to do with your dog if you have to leave them behind for 2 or 3 hours in a really strange environment? And I don't think a lot of people understand that. And I guess everyone's situation is different, but for the most part, I'm going to stick to my initial point of view of just leave your dog at home. Or there's some very good doggy daycares, and that's, mm-hmm. we've done with live with Stella, and she has a great time. She's playing with other dogs, and they look after her, and sometimes she doesn't want to come home.
Oh, bless. Oh. Well, she's enjoying herself. That's nice to hear, too. And but if you do decide that you're going to travel with your pets, you know, maybe talk to your veterinarian to ensure that your pet is fit. And ask about precautions that you should be embarking. So, for an example, before you leave, have your animal's collar, license, ID tags with your name, phone number, microchip, immunization records, and the veterinarian's phone numbers, and their pet food, water, dishes, and toys with you. So even that's a big task to collect, right? And if you're traveling by motor vehicle, make sure your pet's accustomed to vehicle travel before departing on a road trip, and never leave your car unattended in a hot vehicle. We're experiencing very hot weather, not only, you know, locally, but throughout Canada and worldwide. We don't want any situations that are, you know, that could be a ripple effect from that. Make sure the car is well ventilated, and make frequent stops and bring plenty of water with you. Now, if you're traveling by plane, call ahead and make sure that your pet will be permitted on the plane, because there's only a certain number of animals that are allowed on a certain aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Each of the airlines, like Air Canada, WestJet, Canadian North, all have great websites or links to go online and to find out about pet travel tips and traveling with animals. And make sure that you have a kennel that's a proper size for your pet, so the animal should be able to stand, sit, turn around, and lie down comfortable during the flight. Of course, there's different rules for service animals, but this is just for our pets that are just our leisure pets. Like they don't have a work function.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about working animals or anything like that. That's a different story altogether. Camping is another one where, again, just leave your dog at home. People that don't have animals, don't have a dog, and they're camping right beside a dog, it's annoying for them, perhaps,
yes.
Right? So you got to think of other people. But I will say this, a lot of hotels, just about almost all of them now, are pet-friendly. You got to pay an extra fee, but just about all of them do that now.
Oh, yes. When making a reservation, check their hotel policy about allowing pets and what your requirements are. But even on cruise lines, like Cunard has their own level, because people, when they go on transatlantic, they want to bring their pet with them. So they have pet attendants that will take care of you. They have like a fire hydrant, or they even have a phone booth in case, you know, it wants to make it friendly, an environment. This is luxury travel for pets when you're on a Cunard transatlantic.
I bet it is.
and it's not just dogs, it's cats too.
Yeah, I know we're focusing on dogs, but yes, people take their cats and whatever pet they might have. But I will stick to my original premise and say, just leave them at home. They're happier at home, and they'll be happy to see you when you get back from your vacation.
Oh, there's nothing better than when you come home, whether it's a trip or just going to the grocery store, and your dog sees you, and they go berserk. It's just like, oh my God, you're home.
There's no better feeling.
Yes. Absolutely.
Onetta Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onetta Forbes. OnettaForbes.com is her website. So always great to chat, Onetta. I'll say hi to Stella for you.
Oh, yes. Beautiful Stella.